This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Rich Froning is, dare I say, Mr. CrossFit. The guy has won the CrossFit Games individually and as a team 10 times. If there is a name synonymous with CrossFit, Rich Froning is it. Rich now no longer competes in the CrossFit Games, but he has really switched his career and he switched his mindset because he wants something else to challenge him. And hunting and being a hunter is that thing that he sees that can drive him and challenge him. And so naturally, I wanted Rich to be a part of Blood Origins and what we do. And gratefully, he said, yes, I want to tell people my story. And so this is Rich, raw, authentic, talking about hunting and him becoming a hunter. It's one of the things that we love the most about Blood Origins is really getting into these mainstream communities and being able to talk, educate, inform people that may not know anything about hunting, the intricate details of our heart when it comes to hunting. So enjoy.
So there's a reason why I started Blood Origins. And that reason is simple. Is that I wanted to convey the truth about hunting.
It brings awareness to non-hunters that it's more than just killing animals.
How do I start it? Brittany.
My name.
Does my hair look okay?
It's fantastic.
My name is Mike Axelrod.
Start again.
Yeah, I hated it too.
Braxton, you said something in the car to me. You said that you were living on borrowed time. Hmm.
There's a perception around who hunters are, what we're supposed to be, and a feminist that works for a non-profit that is a hunter that has only eaten wild game for the last 20 years is likely not the thing that people think about when it comes to a hunter. Everyone good? Yeah, I'm good. Why are you clapping?
They gotta line up the audios.
No, I know. This is an audio podcast, so.
Yeah. Oh, you guys don't do video?
Typically, we don't.
Oh, nice.
Typically, we don't.
Nice.
But since I quit using Squadcast. Squadcast is like an internet program for podcasting. Just had so much problems with it and whatnot. And we just went to Riverside, and Riverside is recording video. So I was like,
might
as well start recording video.
Get a little
video,
backup.
You know?
I get it. Yeah, we do a little bit of both, but mostly ours has, we get that studio right back there.
Right.
So.
Well, I haven't gone into the YouTube space, but supposedly the YouTube space for podcasting right now is huge.
We took about a year off of our podcast, and it was YouTube, and it would get, 3,000-4,000 views, and then mostly on iTunes or whatever.
Yeah.
That's where it'd get the brunt of it.
Yeah.
But since we've come back with video, it's back. It's like 20,000-30,000 views.
Well, they have a podcast-specific playlist,
yeah,
and that's something that they're really
pushing. Okay, algorithm, man.
Yeah.
YouTube algorithm.
Yeah. Well, they're pushing it because they want to compete. They want to push against Spotify. They want to push against Apple.
Makes sense.
And so, yeah, YouTube is it.
YouTube's king right now.
We're giving the Welsh boys a good taste of the southeastern summer. You sweating already? I see.
It's just always hot sweating. And humid, man. That's the way I am. I'm a heavy sweater, so it's
Well, I felt bad this morning. I was like, okay, yeah, I was going easy.
Yeah. I just sweat.
But I don't sweat a lot.
I do. I wish I didn't. That's the one. If I could change any one thing about myself, it'd be how much I sweat. It gets to the point down here where you can't grip anything. You can't do anything because you're so sweaty.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
So let me ask this question. You're wearing a hat that says Hunt on the front of
it. Yep.
If we had to poll the CrossFit community.
Okay.
And we poll them to say.
International?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. People who know Rich Froning.
Right.
Does Rich Froning hunt?
I think they would know.
You think so?
I think of the CrossFit space, I would say probably 75%. I'm pretty vocal about
About rewind the clock 5 years ago?
5 years ago, probably not. Okay. I didn't really have anything of substance to post at that point. You know, like nobody really cares if you kill a duck or two. And then... You know, I think the kind of the diehard people would know that I hunted.
Sure.
Especially on Train with Rich. I mean, what's Rich doing? It's which we have kind of all of our programming and programs that people can follow, and there's one track that everybody can do exactly what I do. And so what I'll do is went out and hunted this morning, walked 5K or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so those people would probably know, diehard people, but I don't think up until probably – I'd say probably about a year ago, most people didn't know, you know, a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Rich Froning, welcome to the Blood Origins podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, it's our honor. This is, you know, you're the kind of person that, as I said to you earlier today, it's these big mainstream communities, and CrossFit is a big mainstream community, international community, in which hunting shouldn't have a bad name.
Right, exactly.
Because, you know, you guys are, you know, you're in the paleo space, you're into good eating, you're good nutrition.
Healthy, clean
healthy eating. Healthy, outdoor lifestyle.
Perfect. Should completely line up, you know?
So, you sort of, one thing that I wanted to talk through is, you know, people today, 75% of them know you're a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how vocal you are.
Right.
And you said, well, I didn't really have much to post about.
Yeah.
5 years ago, but did you talk about hunting 5 years ago?
I bet if you looked back probably 5 years ago, you know, there was I want to say I killed my first turkey out here. It was Easter. It was Good Friday.
Oh, and this is rolling. Yep. Rolling Tennessee,
beautiful,
eastern
thick hills. Yeah,
turkey
eastern
country.
Turkey, thick in here. They're man, you'll look out here anytime.
You got some good turkeys out
here? Oh, yeah, some good ones. So the first one I killed was just over that tree line over there. And I mean, I still can remember the day and the morning and the smells.
They were hammering.
And the hammering. We were done. We'd went out, didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And my one buddy had to go to a kind of a church thing. And so we're talking and we're like, oh, we'll come back about 11 o'clock. Maybe find one that's, you know, hadn't found a hen.
Right.
The hens
perfect.
Have gone to lay.
I
right?
know so many people who kill turkeys.
At
good turkeys.
9, 10 o'clock. Yeah.
10 to 2. Everyone's gone home. You like sneak in. Yeah. Find one hammering.
But this was at 7 o'clock and we go to walk and it sounds like there's a World War III going on over there. And so we're like, all right, let's go. And so we kind of get into position and it's up over this little rise of a hill. And my buddy starts calling about 50 yards behind me. And it sounds like Jurassic Park. It was the weirdest. They had to be fighting or something.
Mm.
And one dude comes up on over. And so about 50 yards, shot him. And and that was my first turkey. And I'd tried for a couple of years. And,
but you had hunted before that, though?
A little bit. Not a ton. I had a friend. His dad got me into it. And the hard part for me was when I was an individual – that's all I thought about was training and competing and anything that messed.
What do you mean when you were an individual?
Individual athlete. So you know, 5 years where I competed as an individual and won the CrossFit Games 4 of those years. And man, to be the best in the world at any one thing, you know,
you have
CrossFit,
to
you have to be obsessed. Yeah. And so hunting for me was hard getting up at 5, 6 a.m. It's going to throw off my training schedule.
Sure.
And so, you know, some days I did a little bit here and there, but when I kind of switched from the individual to the team side, That's when I really kind of got into hunting more because I could still train and I was still obsessed with competing, but I could still had time for other things in my life. And, you know, I had the kids and that's when I really kind of got hooked on it. And it's been in my family my entire life. But
so did you grow up hunting?
So that's, you know, my family's really big in Michigan. Okay. And I have a couple uncles that are really big whitetail.
They do the whole
big
like,
white
family
hunters.
Deer camp. Everyone goes off to the buck poles and
stuff. They're into it. And yeah. I did a couple of those, did a couple deer drives, stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. I never killed anything myself, but was on a couple hunts with my uncle, killed something. And then down here, whitetail is, they're just different. They're smaller. They're more, you know.
It's a different game.
It's a different game.
Yep. And my food plot game.
Yeah, exactly.
Food plot management.
And my dad is a... we talked about it earlier. We have to move, and my dad's my mom and my dad, the two hardest working people in any room. So they were always moving, and so sitting and waiting was not good for my dad. And then having your son who's not good at sitting and waiting, and he's not the most patient, and I'm not the most patient. And so I remember several times seeing dad walk out of the woods in the morning, but, you know, we never really – it wasn't a huge thing in my family. And then I had a buddy, like I said, I told you this earlier, but a buddy – he did some CrossFit with us, and his dad was like, "Hey, Charles," I call him Uncle Charles. He's not no family relation, but he's Uncle Charles.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Come turkey hunting with me." And I'm like, "All right, I'll go with you." And from that moment, I was hooked. I was in. And so I did that for 4 or 5 years.
Because it's an interactive
hunt. It's interactive. Right? It's offensive. You know, we were talking about that earlier. Not that whitetail isn't. You've got to pattern them. It's hard work. It's almost a lot of pre-work. I like to be, you know, listen, move. Watch, move, spot, and stalk. That's just in my nature. It's who
I am. Do you know have you heard of the name Scotty Legault?
I've not.
He's a snowboarder.
Okay.
Big snowboarder, pro snowboarder.
Yeah.
And he's out of Maine.
Okay.
Maine woods.
Oh, okay.
And I think up in the northeast, they do spot and stalk whitetails.
Oh, okay.
But it's in the snow.
I could do that.
Yeah, and what they do is you drive the roads early and you find a buck track that's gone across the road.
Yep.
You park right there.
And you find him.
You follow him.
Okay.
And you follow him all day.
I think I could do that.
Day.
See, I could do that. We did that with an elk one time. You know, we were up at elk camp. We were walking out just to go to one side of the road and we see tracks. And you knew it was a bull and we were like, let's go. And for 8 hours, me and Father Stephen tracked. And now I know that we just kept bumping him. You know, like you'd see a spot and you should, next time you talk to Father Stephen, ask how much he likes to eat in the woods. we were tracking, and once I get in mode, I forget about everything else. Eat, whatever.
Yeah,
eat, stop, whatever. And so we're tracking this thing. It's middle of the day, and usually we'd stop about lunchtime, sit, have a little snack, eat, whatever. And, we'd nonstop from sun up till noon, 1 o'clock. And this is our last day to hunt, so I'm going, right?
Right.
And he looks at me. He's like, are we gonna eat? And I'm like, go ahead. And so he gets down and starts opening his bag, and you could see him, like, looking at me every once in a while, and he's speeding up, grabbing his stuff. And finally, he just grabs his stuff. He's like, all right, let's go. And so, you know, we get back to get up to the top of the hill, and we're kind of done for the day. We can only do a more or less a half day. We get done about 3. And, you know, we kind of call it at this point. We'd realize we just keep pushing pushing it. And he looks at me. He goes, man, that was fun. He goes, I need to apologize for something. I'm like, what? He's like, back when you wouldn't let me eat, he goes, I was thinking bad thoughts about you.
And that says something coming from a Catholic
exactly.
priest.
He's like, I was not, it's not what I should have been saying in my head. And I'm like, hey, I get it, you know, but yeah. When I get something in my head, that's what I'm going to do, you know, so.
Well, big props to Father Stephen.
Oh, Father Stephen's
the man. Because literally, we've podcasted with him, and it's one of the biggest downloaded podcast we've had because
as
you know
it should
him.
Be. Yeah, he's the
just
best.
Incredibly intelligent, down to earth. Philosophically, down to earth.
He can relay it well.
Right.
We've had some of my best, and Father Stephen's become one of my most fun hunting partners. And, you know, we've become super close in the woods over the past 4 or 5 years and has become.
How did you meet him?
The CrossFit Games. He was the chaplain. And we just kind of, you know, traded numbers, and then he found out I was into elk hunting, and we went to we went out west to Gunnison.
Yeah.
And me and him, we mesh really well. We have similar, you know, mentalities in the woods, similar, you know, obviously faith-wise, and man, Father Stephen, like I said, he's a brother. He's a good dude, and we've shared a lot of good memories, and man, I can just the memories flood back, and that's what's special about hunting, you know, like those memories. And we came up to a wallow one time, and he turns around and looks at me, and he's like, look over my shoulder. I'm like, I can't see. He's like, look over my shoulder. Look over my right shoulder. And I look, and it's a bear. And he's trying to knock an arrow. It's a black bear.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everybody scatter. There's four of us. We scatter going after this bear, all with arrows knocked, right? He runs up the hill. I run up the hill a different way, and there's four of us, yeah. And so we all get – and you look around, and you can't see anybody.
Mm.
We're all completely split. So what's the one thing you do? You go back to the spot where you all split,
yeah, for
right?
Sure.
Three of us did that. Steven didn't. And so we sit there, and we wait. We eat lunch. We're like, all right, we'll eat lunch. We'll let Steven come back. Steven never shows back up. So we're like, all right, cool. So about an hour or two, we're like, well, he'll figure it out. So we start walking around. And it was funny because the same route he went is the same route I eventually took. And we come walking up over this hill, a couple ridges over, and Father Stephen just sitting on top of the hill eating lunch. And we're like, how does that happen? Yeah, other than, exactly. You know, we just hunt together so yeah. much that you just know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's become a special friend, and we have that bond, you know.
Yeah, he, like, we did the podcast, and we stayed in touch and whatnot. And he said to me, he's like, would you be interested in, you know, potentially talking to Rich Froning? And this morning, as I said, this is the first time I was in a CrossFit gym this yeah. morning. I've done CrossFit WODs.
Right.
Knew your name. You know, knew who you were.
Right.
And I was like, and especially for Blood Origins and the next sort of generation, I was like, you know Rich Froning? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, really
well.
He's
a good mate. I'll introduce you. And this was like, I think, this was in February
yep.
of this year.
Yep.
He's like, oh, I'm going to go up, and I think I'm going to turkey hunt with him. And I said, okay. Then he just just randomly DM'd me. He's like, hey, you still interested in Rich? And I said, of course.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'm going to text message you and Josh Bergeron
okay.
together.
Get you hooked up.
And then he connected us, Josh cool. and I together, and Josh and I connected, and I was like, you know who we are? You're like, you know Blood Origins?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, just, again, I'm completely humbled. And
yeah, heck know, yeah.
to what we do and the people that know what we do.
Yeah, but it's cool what you're doing, and that's what needs to happen. It's education. You know, no people don't 100%. Know. People don't know. It's almost like we're like a generation or two away from, you know, losing it if we
we're
don't.
We're a generation or two, and a youngster out of New Zealand,
yeah.
he captured it like this. He said, we're a generation or two away from people not knowing how to camp.
It's bizarre. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind the basic skills that basically would have kept us alive for however long, basic skills.
Right.
Not even, you don't even have, like, even going out here and
yeah.
hunting in the yard.
Yeah.
You know, I do that with my kids on the regular, and they're now pretty, they're, you know, 9, 6, and 5. But I feel like they're so far ahead of even, like, 20 and 30-year-olds because, you know, I don't know if parents just either forgot about it or didn't think about it or what, but it's scary.
Mm. I wonder if it's life just being too busy.
Too busy or too easy?
Uh-huh.
Too easy. I think, you know, like, life is – we can make life as easy as we want to. We think it's hard, you know, when we look at our phone. We think everything's hard. But life now is not hard compared to what, you know, our grandparents had
sure.
or even our parents. You know, we're generations away from, like, just things that – internet, you know. Like, I can remember when the internet wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm right at that. Like,
yeah, me too.
I used the internet in, you know, starting in high school or middle school. But still, like, you think about life before that. How did people communicate? You know, that's the problem. Or not the problem. It's not a problem. But we just got to learn and not forget these things.
Yeah. So let me ask this. As soon as, you know, you're a pretty famous individual, lots of people following you and whatnot.
I just work out a lot.
Yeah, you do.
A lot.
Like, we worked out a lot today, didn't
we
Josh?
Did. We
that
did.
Was a lot of workout. No, don't lie. It's not a lot of working out.
It's a lot of fitness.
No. It's like what?
It's normal.
Come on.
It's a morning session.
That's a 15% session for
it's
you.
It's a good morning session.
A good
it's
morning.
A solid
how many sessions do you have a day?
Usually two.
A morning
so
and afternoon
of those.
Session.
Yeah, yeah, usually
we're not
about
doing
that.
An afternoon today, are we?
We might a little bit. We'll just let you do it at your own pace.
Okay.
We're all about infinite scaling.
There
that's the beauty of CrossFit is, you know, you did the same workout, just a
correct.
Little bit different.
Again,
and you
yes.
got a similar stimulus to where you're at in your fitness
correct.
As I am in mine. So
yeah.
that's kind of the beauty of CrossFit, I think,
yeah.
is everybody can do it.
So did you, and I want you to sort of think back, and maybe it's just your personality, but did you have any thoughts or, yeah, really thoughts to like, hey, I'm getting into hunting more now. I'm not going to tell my community about it?
Because,
again,
because of the negative connotation.
Perceptions,
yeah,
perspectives.
I think there's definitely, there's a little apprehension, or was a little bit. You're like, oh, what do I show? What do I not show? What's too much? What's not enough? But I've also learned over the years with my faith. I mean, I'm super vocal about my faith and who I am in that. And I've kind of have that. It's a similar feeling, if that makes sense, of like, at first you're like, do I put myself
reluctant.
Out here?
You're
exactly.
Reluctant.
Because, you know,
not
am
everyone's
I,
Christian, not everyone accepts
can
Christianity.
Can I back it up? You know, especially when I was early on in my faith, can I back up what I actually believe, you know? And same with hunting. There's almost a little bit of apprehension because you want to say, yes, I hunt. And then when people start, because people are always going to attack. And how do I defend that if I don't know the answers to that?
100%.
And so I think what you guys are doing,
yeah.
having those answers for people to fall back on. And then also the older you get, you realize what does it matter what the loud – what there's a silent majority and then you have the loud minority. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it's the loud minority that has a problem. And there's probably people that have a problem with it, but they just move along with their day and that's okay.
Yeah, you know,
like we don't have to, you know, be so divisive on everything that we do.
Yeah, but it's a symptom of today's society, really.
It really is.
Like everything is divisive. Everything
has to be
left and right.
There's no middle ground. We can't be in the middle ground. And I've talked about that several times on podcasts, and we talked about it this morning. I can respect vegans and vegetarians and their beliefs. I don't agree with it, and I don't have to agree with it, just like they don't have to agree with me hunting. But I'm going to do it, and there's laws, and I'm going to do it. But what gets me, we talked about, was the people that eat meat and are against hunting. That one,
that's a
weird
one.
Can't level with that
one. It's a little hypocritical.
Extremely hypocritical.
Yeah. No, it's funny. When people say, like, we have obviously, we interact with a lot of different people through all social media. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the battleground,
right.
essentially, for what we do. And we get tagged into a bunch of different things. Like, I got tagged into your post for your elk and... I got tagged into this one post about like trophy hunting. That's like the biggest thing,
right?
Like, and I gave a response, and there was a vegan that responded after me, and said, "I'm a bleeding heart vegan, and even this guy makes sense to me."
Right, right, and that's the way it should.
Well, and the thing with a vegan and vegetarian, what I like about them is really at the end of the day, if they won't listen, right? And you say, "Okay, whoa, let's just take a step back." What do you want? You are purposely choosing a lifestyle that has removed you, sort of absolved you from any sort of animal abuse, animal taking of life or anything like that, right? And they say, yes. Like, well, let's talk about wildlife. What's your goal? What do you want to see for wildlife in the future? And more often than not, they're going to tell you, we want to see wildlife for our kids and our grandkids one day. So do I.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we want more wildlife. Huh. So do we. And we just have, you just have two different mechanisms.
To get it done.
To go and do the same thing.
Yep.
Yes, you may not agree with us taking a life, but at the end of the day, the goal is the same. The goal, and you've got examples around the world. All of everything, elk.
Elk.
Use elk as an example. You've got elk in Tennessee now.
Exactly. We have one up 5 miles. I showed you a picture.
Why? Why do you have elk in Tennessee?
Conservation. Because the money and tax dollars that hunters have put in goes towards that reintroduction and the habitats.
Yeah, and it's a value, right? So now all of a sudden, oh, geez, you got elk in Tennessee?
Tourism.
Oh, man, am I going to be able to hunt elk one day?
Hope so.
Oh, yeah. How much money is going to be generated from
it? A lot.
Yeah, you know, Pennsylvania. Like, these are just good, you know, good data points, but... Pennsylvania bear season, right? Michigan also has good bear season. Pennsylvania has a bear season. Every year that bear season generates $3.5 million for Pennsylvania game and fish. Okay, they sell over 300,000 bear tags. 95% of the bear tags are opportunity tags.
Yep.
You buy your whitetail license. Oh, I'm just going to add another
on.
$10.
Add on. If I see a bear.
Tag.
Yep.
Okay. 1,200 bears get taken. It's like 1.5% chance of you killing a bear.
Exactly. Yeah. I do it every time on elk in Colorado. What unit are you hunting in? X unit. You want
a bear tag?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Why not?
How many bears have you killed in Colorado? Zero. This is an audio medium.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It really is.
Zero.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So it
makes perfect. How many elk tags have I bought in Colorado?
Oh my gosh.
Four.
How many have
Five.
You killed?
Two.
Two.
$700 each tag. Mm-hmm. $750.
Mm-hmm. So you killed a cow as well?
Killed a cow. Elk? Yep. Yep. Cow meat. Amazing. That's where it is.
So I killed a cow elk last year in Colorado.
Yeah.
Drove it home 16 hours.
Yeah.
And I had one full hind leg left. And I had already moved the ice cream out of the ice cream freezer and stuffed it full of meat.
There you go.
I was like, I said, Lisa,
what am I going to do?
Well, yeah.
Got to eat it.
No, I had to order another freezer.
Hey, that's what I got. That's my white freezer right there.
Yeah.
It's my game freezer now.
I had to order another freezer.
Hey, but it's, I'm hunting. I don't have to pay as much for meat, right? That's what I tell my wife, Oh, no, it's cheaper this way,
Exactly.
Yep.
No, look, and that's another thing I love to use in terms of rhetoric. The whole meat sharing thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to eat elk tonight.
Yep.
Share it with your friends. Give it away. Cam Haynes loves yep. to give his meat away, right?
Yep.
When did you ever hear someone go to the grocery store and say, I'm buying 20 ribeyes today.
I don't know. Give them away.
And I'm going to give them away.
Not often.
Not often?
Not often.
And the meat that you're giving away.
Yep. Is better quality than that.
And 10 times more expensive.
Yeah.
Yep, if you add in it all, give it away.
Because why not?
It's just part of the creed.
Creed, the community, the brotherhood. We talked about I've got the guys that I hunt or that I killed that first elk with, like we share that together, It's like it's Father Stephen, become mm-hmm. a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
That I do have, I'm not a trophy hunter per se, but that first elk that I killed, I kept the cape and the everything, and so he's hanging on my wall. And every time I walk by that thing, those memories come back, mm-hmm. Like he wasn't taken, like there's just different things about it. Like I can still smell the air, I can, see him at that wallow, I can still see that cow. Like mm-hmm. Every turkey I killed, like if I start thinking back, I can think about, just certain things about those hunts.
Mm. Do you think, since you've gotten more and more into sort of more physical hunting, mm-hmm. like elk hunting is more physical hunting. You've lived in the fitness world for so long. When did you start CrossFit?
Like 2010. 2009. 2009. 22.
Why 36. Why 22 did you say, oh, shit, I want to be a CrossFit guy?
So I was getting my undergrad in exercise science. One of my professors
here,
Tennessee Tech. One of my professors was the head strength and conditioning coach. I was
For
the football team, mm-hmm. and I was a firefighter in Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for 4 years. They paid my tuition to Tennessee Tech.
Oh, cool.
So the professor was like, hey, a lot of military police fire are doing this thing called CrossFit. You should check it out. As they say, the rest is history. I started doing CrossFit and then went to my first CrossFit. My cousin moved down from Michigan. We opened a CrossFit gym and
in Cookeville.
Didn't realize you could compete in it. And then found out you could compete, and we were like, oh, let's give it a shot on the way to spring break. And then I ended up winning that, what they called it at the time, sectional.
Okay.
Went to regionals, won my region, and then went to the CrossFit Games and got second. So,
damn it.
Rest is history from there.
Shit.
So I was 23 at the time.
But you had a competitive like.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of 32 first cousins only on my mom's side, and 25 of us are boys. And
holy
so
shit.
It's and even the girls in our family could probably whip our ass half the time. So they're incredibly athletic
huge
and huge family.
All in here?
Michigan. Live in Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. Okay.
Yeah, all live in Michigan. Relatively close area northeast of Detroit.
So why Cookeville then?
My dad worked at TRW. It was they made airbags.
Okay.
And so his plant moved down here. And then has worked there ever since. I actually worked there for 6 months. I went to Walter State to play baseball.
Could you imagine what your life would have been if that's what
you
did? Oh,
gosh. I know.
Totally.
That's why I did it. I mean, my dad, I came home from baseball because it just didn't work out. It was too far from home, homesick. And my dad was like, well, you came home, you're going to work. And
yeah.
So for 6 months until I could start on at the fire department, I just put together airbags. And you talk about miserable.
Same old,
12 hours a day,
shit.
Just putting stuff together. So, I mean, more power to people that do that, but it was not for me.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started working at the fire department.
Yeah. So back to what I wanted to ask. You've obviously been in the fitness game from 22, you're 36 now, 14 years. let's just say, the last 5 years, you've really gotten into Western-style hunting.
Yep.
Have you seen something about your fitness game that you're like, holy shit, I'm deficient because I'd never expected X or I never expected Y?
Every time I go out there, I'm like, damn it, I should have done this. And so it's been cool the last couple of years when I come home, I have a note on my phone that I'm like, I see movements, you know, per se. Mm. And so like today, what we did was we did high box step ups, and that's to simulate walking over blowdown,
deadfall. Man,
you
have no idea.
No idea until you start doing it. It's the most miserable, mundane, whatever. So those high box step ups are to mimic that. And then pushing a sled is obviously going up a hill. Mm-hmm. And so like this afternoon, I was thinking about doing a little run with a ruck or with a vest, whichever. Yeah. And then maybe like carry some kettlebells in here or carry some stuff just to simulate. Sure. Having a load, or, you know, honestly, even a couple things that I've noticed is balance. Mm. And so,
you were talking to me earlier, we were talking about how when you wear like a really heavy pack, whether it's full of meat or full of hide or whatnot, regardless of how that pack fits on you, that weight hits like right on
these
your
glutes.
Hips,
I got a special thing for you to show you how what
I'm talking about, like a cushion.
It's right here. Oh, so that's the balance thing.
And then you were talking about
this belt squat right here. So it's a lot of people use it if you have a low back or a back issue and you can't load up here for squats. Mm-hmm. And so the load sits right here on your hips. And we'll do some marches or step ups, and I'd never even thought about it until last year when we were hiking that elk out, and these minimus.
Your glute meads hurt?
My gosh. Yeah. By the time I was done, it was awful. Yeah, I mean, you can't – it's such a – they're so specialized movements. We don't necessarily hit those all the time. And so if I can – this month or two leading up, I shoot my bow and I hit workouts that I think will prepare me best for the woods. Mm-hmm. I've got 3 hunts coming up, 1 September, October, and 1 November. And so I'll keep that up all fall. All for elk, yep. And so luckily I have a good base too, because I just finished the Leadville mountain bike race. And so mountain biking – I feel like has helped a ton too. Just climbing hills, we got a lot of hills here, and then Leadville is all climbing. So
where was Leadville?
Colorado, all above 10,000, or you start at 10,200 feet.
Jeez.
Go up to, I think, 12,000 feet and then back down.
And you trained here for that?
Trained here for that. Yep. You saw that front of that hill on the mountain up.
Yeah.
I rode that probably 100 times. My dad lives just up there. So it's about 1,000 feet from the bottom to the top.
Okay.
And I must have rode that 150 times.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But I was prepared. The altitude is one thing that you kind of can't prepare for, but you need to be ready for.
Yeah.
You know, about 3 days is what it takes for me.
Well, it's the same thing with hunting, right? You couldn't prep for 10,000 feet.
You can't.
Unless hiking in that.
You just got to know that first day or two is going to suck, and then you'll 3 days in, you'll kind of start settling in. For me, that's what it works for me. And then, there's a lot of research says that humidity has similar effects on the body. Not apples to apples, but pretty close.
Okay. So elk is your jam right now?
Right now, elk's my jam. Yeah, I just – that.
And bow hunting is the jam too?
I'm not a purist. I'm an equal opportunity harvester or killer, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I've gone more with a bow. And then last year I won't say it wasn't nearly as special, but it was way different style of hunting. I think I totaled it up to kill that one bull. We were public land, over-the-counter tags, hardest of the hard. It took 22 days of hard hunting total over across, 4 or 5 trips.
Yeah.
And then I killed that cow within 4 hours,
With a rifle.
With a rifle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, it was...
It's different.
Different. It was different. I'm not going to say it wasn't just as rewarding,
Correct.
The meat tasted...
Just as
good.
I was
about to say, if not better,
Yeah.
And so, we killed her first 3 or 4 hours. We just looked back, and she was laid up all by herself. Not even – the herd was
really?
Off. Yeah, so maybe there was something to it. Maybe she was injured or something, but,
Right one to take, maybe.
Right one to take.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm an equal opportunity hunter. Like, I'll hunt whatever, right?
Yep.
But – and each one has its, like, when you – each one has its special moments and whatnot. But bow hunting – I can see...
It's intimate. It's close.
It's close and personal.
Yeah.
And it's like you get into that that animal's bedroom.
Yep.
Right? And
oh,
somebody
you're in it.
There's a woman, Anna, I'll get her last name, it'll come to me. She's got the Grand Slam of Sheep with a bow.
Okay.
Okay, she's a badass.
Yeah, that's a badass.
She's a killer.
Yeah.
And she said to me on an interview once, she was like, what I love about it is I can get into so close that I can see them poop.
Yeah.
And he goes, and she goes, not just poop, I can see like the individual droplets come yeah. out. I can see them blink their eyes.
Yeah. You know they're real.
And
yeah.
That's you and them, you know. And at that point, nobody is, you know, there's no way that you're like, oh, that's unfair.
Right.
Right. You're in their environment.
You're in their environment.
Your eyesight sucks ass in comparison yep. to them.
Their smell.
Your smell sucks ass in comparison to them. They know the habitat. They know everything about it. You're just, you're a
transplant.
Visitor.
Yep.
Yep. So, elk right now, you are built for sheep, really.
I know. That's what everybody keeps saying. I'm not against it. You know, I would love to eventually,
yeah.
you know, I would want to go with somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. I'm not going to.
Oh, that's amazing.
I feel like with elk, you can go out. The environment
you can,
you're
can
in.
You can figure it out
You
yourself.
Can figure it out. You yeah. mess it up. We've messed it up more than we figured it out. Mm-hmm. But. You know, there is danger to it, but mm-hmm. once you get to the like sheep habitat, mm-hmm. you need somebody that knows
what
the heck
they're
doing.
Well, and sheep is also just like, you know, it's very expensive mm-hmm. to hunt sheep.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it with, you know, you've got to decide, am mm-hmm. I doing it with a bow or a gun?
Or a gun.
Both are going to be incredibly difficult.
Yep.
Bow exponentially.
Exponentially difficult.
More
yep.
difficult. And you got to be set that you may shoot a doll on your first hunt. You may shoot a doll on your fifth hunt.
Uh-huh.
And the cost is
the same whether you do or don't.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I've learned with elk. You know, we're spending the same amount of money.
Yeah.
You're spending a little bit more if you kill something because mm-hmm. you got to get processed. Mm-hmm. But unless you're a real man like mm-hmm. one of the guys we hunt with and he processes all his own. But you know.
I'll tell you what, you would love. There's a guy in so South Africa. People will go to Africa and they'll bow hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, most PHs, most outfitters aren't bow hunters.
Gotcha.
Right, they take them rifle hunting.
Gotcha.
And so more often than not, what happens is you get stuck in a blind over water, wait for an animal to come in, which you would die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
But there's some youngsters now in Africa. There's this guy, Russell De La Harp, with Backcountry Hunters, Backcountry Africa, and a guy called Donnie Giel.
Okay.
With African Bow Hunting Adventures, I think is his company. Both of them are young guys, mid-20s.
So they want to go.
But they grew up bow hunting.
Okay.
They are bow hunters.
Gotcha.
They're not just recreational, what me and
right,
you
right,
are.
Right, right, right.
But they are. That's what they do. They do not pick up a rifle. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. And they've learned and figured out how to spot and stalk.
Heck yeah.
African wildlife.
Animals, right.
Yeah. And so Russell or Donnie, like you go with Russell into Zambia. And you're like, right, and here's the beautiful thing about Africa, is that here, you truly aren't hunting yet. And when I say that,
right.
I say it this way. When you go to Colorado, you've got a bull elk tag in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy a bear tag to put in your pocket.
Yep.
Okay. You don't have a mule deer tag. You don't have a whitetail tag. You don't have whatever.
Right.
In Africa, what you do is you walk out that morning. You go driving. You're like, all right, I'm maybe interested in hunting a sable. Okay. Sable's choice number one.
Right.
And so you go stalk a stable. You get up close. You know, you get in the whole adrenaline, 40, 30 yards. You look. Russell goes, not mature enough. Sorry. But you've done everything. Like, to get in, you're like, nope.
Nope, doesn't count.
Doesn't count. And then you turn around and, oh, 100 yards away is an impala. Oh, you want to go hunt an impala? Yeah, let's go. And he's mature enough, and you take the impala.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're hunting. You are just
hunting.
Hunting.
Okay.
You're hunting
behind
like
that. Yeah. Like we would have.
Would have been
like
doing
we would
100
have. We
years
had
ago.
To do
correct.
To get food.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right.
So when you're
I
ready.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. When you're ready.
Yeah. Everybody's like, go do a, you know, an African hunt. And then I've heard and you just sit in front of water. And I'm like, this doesn't appeal to me, you know.
The right people.
And not that it's, and I'm not against that. I just, yeah. it's not for me.
No,
you know?
You need the right people
yep.
who know what they're doing, who are true bow hunters. And the boys, Jack and Lewis, actually went with Russell.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. They went in the Impala rut. Jack, how many Impala did you kill? He's laughing. Answer me.
Not a one.
How many arrows do you fling?
Three.
Yeah, three each. Zero impala. How many impala did you kill, Lewis?
Three.
Yeah.
I hit one.
No, come on.
He hit a cyst on his chest.
He hit a cyst on
but
his chest.
But it's just like, it is, you know, these, it's, again, bow hunting on steroids,
yep.
but it's true hunting. When you get with the right person who knows what they're doing, it's just an unbelievable experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I've become addicted over the, like in the fall, that's all I can think of. And then when I get out of the woods, it's just there's something too about being out, and it just feels like that's what you're supposed to do. And when you get out of the woods, like my wife, I think, can see it finally. And she's like, you know what? You're a better person when you come back, you know? And so she's good with it because and I can't wait for my kids.
Well, it's tough leaving, you know, your wife with the kids.
I do hate leaving. Exactly. And so I'm ready for them to be old enough to, you know, like we were joking, but I'm just trying to brainwash my kids to do the things that I want to do. Yeah. So, you know, they've got their little bows and Genesis bows, and we're working on it.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Mayhem Athletics, Mayhem CrossFit has been you for so long, and now you've pulled back a little bit.
Yeah.
You're not competing
not
anymore.
Not competing, yep.
Is that true?
I'm still competing in some stuff. I'm not competing at the CrossFit Games. How about that?
Okay.
Yep.
So, obviously, now you've got you've opened up time frames in your daily life to incorporate other things like hunting. What is next? I know we've talked about Mayhem Outdoors.
Yep, Mayhem Outdoors.
What is that?
I think it's just, you know, trying to show the physical side of how you can use fitness to prepare you for some of these things, you know, these endeavors outside the gym. You know, we talked about CrossFit. There's almost like two pieces of CrossFit. You got the athlete side, the like games level stuff, and that's one expression of CrossFit. But then we have this whole bigger part that works together with the games, but it's the everyday person.
Yeah.
And so I want people to get out, and you know, that's what I did with this mountain bike thing, is like show people this whole new kind of thing that you can get into and use your fitness in here to prepare you for a bike race or prepare you for whatever. And so I think there's a huge, you know, parallel with that fitness and I think Western style hunting, but you still got to be in some type of shape to go, you know, turkey hunting and even whitetail hunting to get up in a tree. And like we were talking food plots and all that type of stuff. And so, you know, what we've learned doing that type of stuff, I feel like we can help support the hunting community with fitness and kind of show them some of the things that we've learned along the way and how they can all be intertwined together.
Well, especially if you can show, like we were talking about today, show
a movement
in the movement in the field of like, this is what you're going to experience. This is what you're going to come up against. And this is a way to prepare for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and it's been fun for me. That's how my brain thinks, you know, it's like, all right, how can I make this harder here, but easier out there when it counts, you know, if that makes sense. And so that's just what I like to do. And I enjoy the fitness side of it, but I enjoy having something to train for and adventure. And, you know, with the farm, we have this kind of into the storm mentality, or into the storm is kind of our go-to, where bison out west, when there's a storm coming, they face it and you go through the storm faster. Whereas cattle will turn and try to run away, and you're in the storm longer.
Oh, okay.
And so the idea is in life, you know, we're not seeking problems, but you do want challenge because that's where we grow. That's where we find ourselves, what we're really made of. The good things in life come when it's harder. You know what I mean? And that's why I try to like tell my kids, it's like, it's not as much fun when stuff's given to you. You know, when you earn it, like, you know, my wife was so, this bike race, you know, I'm like, I got to get sub-9. And she's like, why do you got to get sub-9? I'm like, she's like, are you going to be a professional mountain biker? And I'm like, no, but if I get sub-9, I get a giant belt buckle.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, you have gold medals, you have all this stuff. Why do you want a belt buckle? I'm like, because it's earned, you know? Like, if you get sub-12, you get a belt buckle. But if you get sub-9,
you get the real one.
Bigger belt buckle. And so she's like, we can buy that on Etsy or something. And I'm like, I don't want to buy it. I want to earn it, you know? And so for me, it's just my mentality. I'm not
essentially killing an elk the way that you...
It's competitive. It's a competition. It's a competition, too. You know, if you think about it. And for me, my whole life has been
A competition with who?
Me and that elk.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm trying to figure out, and he's trying to figure out how to stay alive, and I'm trying to figure out how to kill him.
Yeah.
And so it's my last 12, 13 years has been a spectator competition. Everybody watches and sees and critiques. Out west, it's just me and that animal. It's a competition, but it's not being watched. So I don't know if it's hard to like.
No, it's more of like it's more of an internal fight.
Yeah, it really is. It's hard to to, I guess, put into words to people that, you know, I like, that's just been my life. It's been competition my whole life. It's, mm-hmm. you know, from the time I was a kid till I am now. And so I need some type of competition, but that's a different style of competition. Even this bike race, like, I knew I wasn't going to win. Mm-hmm. It's, I'm just not a specialist in bikes.
You didn't think about winning?
I mean, obviously, I want to be the best, do the best that I can. But still, it was like me against the clock, sure, you know, that nine-hour clock. I'm like, yeah, all right, you know, what are we going to do?
And what was the time of the winner?
5:43. He set world record on it. He beat the original record by 15 minutes.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, so I was about to start climbing the biggest climb called Columbine, and the halfway up, and he was flying down. I'm like, damn. And what was most impressive, I never saw another person come at me for another 10 minutes. Jeez. He was hauling. It was impressive.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I just – there's just something, you know, it's mm-hmm. hard for people that you know because mm-hmm. you've been out and you do it. And I want other people to experience that, you know, and like, and there's different styles of hunting and different types of hunting. You know, it's not just, I think people, especially around here, think, oh, some redneck in his truck sitting on the side of the road waiting for, you know, and poaching. Mm-hmm. No, if you do hunting correctly, there's laws, there's limits, there's, mm-hmm. you know, I think what you were doing and educating people on that mm-hmm. is huge, and what people need to see that it's not just some redneck going out with a gun and
100%.
You know, just shooting whatever he wants.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and it's, and that's the thing too, is like these, the people that say, you know, well, that animal was going to die a peaceful death. Have you seen how wolves or
look, Mother Nature
is
a cruel
vicious,
bitch.
Vicious.
Exactly.
Vicious.
And it, you know, no death is, you know, I'm not going to say no, cause I don't like it speaking in absolutes.
No.
For the most part, starvation, disease, being eaten, you know, alive as you can't move kind of story. That's what happens.
That's
in Mother Nature.
That's yeah. nature. Yeah, they're not going to die this peaceful death. And humans have been part of the food chain for mm-hmm. forever, a long time, you know. Yeah. So I don't understand why, you know, that's hard
well,
for
just
me to connect.
It's the disconnection.
Disconnect.
At the end of the day, it's a disconnect of we live in a time where your food comes to you through grocery stores and supermarkets, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it does separate you from the act of taking something's life mm-hmm. to convert it into the food that you enjoy eating.
Yep.
End of story.
It really is.
Yeah. Look, my man, I really appreciate it. I'll tell you this, from the hunting community's perspective, you probably don't ever hear them say thank you. So I'll say thank you.
I appreciate it.
On their behalf.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because you speaking about hunting, speaking the right way about hunting, understanding why you hunt, all those things, when someone watches you, and there's a lot of people that watch you, that don't understand hunting, are non-hunters, and even, honestly, the 60% majority that sits in the middle,
right,
that really has no opinion, they're neutral.
Right.
Oh, I don't care whether one way or another. And they see you doing something in the positive,
right,
you know, slightly positive, slightly, you know,
yeah,
that's all that's doing is reaffirming to them when they hit a ballot box, when they see something come across the television about X hunting is bad, X, and you're like, that doesn't look like anything
like
right. I'm used to,
no,
or I've seen from
right.
from you,
yeah,
essentially,
yeah.
So yeah, thank you.
Well, I've had good parents and good people ahead of me that, you know, laid that foundation. And I think that's our job, is to lay that foundation for future generations, or else, like we said, you know, there's going to come a point where they're going to have to take care of themselves. And
yeah,
hopefully they can.
And you,
and then
just
you got Bill.
Just at the end of the
and
podcast,
you got Bill.
You're like, I can hear you wrapping up.
Yep.
So I'm going to bring you.
You want to throw the ball?
This ball. Can you sit?
Good boy.
Ah. Go on. Thank you, my man.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers.
Well, that's it for today. I appreciate you listening, as always. Leave a review, share it with your friends, and most importantly, do what's right to convey the truth around hunting.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go with, like, just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.